be with us today. And Father God, by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would put these realities of love and following you into our hearts so that they won't be just verses memorized. They will actually work in our lives the love that comes from above. In Yeshua's name, amen. You know, when I thought about this message and delivering this example from the start, I thought about Rini. Rini, how long have you been with us? Over 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Rini has been here over 20 years. You know, one thing about people as they get older, and I put myself in this category, they repeat themselves so often. I used to take out a brother from this congregation. He's with the Lord now. And he was an older man. And he had a really sweet spirit about him because he had been the victim of a mistake in the hospital, and he was blinded. But he had such a sweet spirit about him. But he, like me, was up there in age, and he would tell the same story over and over. I think I heard some of his stories, it must have been like 50 times at least. And you have to learn to be patient. Well, this story I've told before, it's to give an illustration. It's one of the best illustrations I've seen. You know what a platitude is? I use the Oxford English Dictionary. It's a trite or commonplace remark, especially one solemnly delivered. A platitude. And I remember this TV program. It was Carol Burnett's Comedy Hour. How many remember Carol Burnett? Yeah, I really love the humor on that story. Yes, she's still alive, but she's retired. Well, anyhow, there was this skit about the Revolutionary War period. And this guy who's supposed to be Patrick Henry gets up and says, "But as for me, give me liberty or give me death." And three guys rise up from this crowd. And they have, I guess you'd call them muskets or rifles. They point them at his head. He says, "Let me rephrase that last statement." I thought that was a good example. Because when Yeshua talks about love, and we just heard one of the commandments, and I want to repeat it and give you a twin companion that goes phrase that goes along with this. The first one is in John 13, 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And so much goes on in Christian circles about living the right kind of life, belonging to the right denomination, having the best statements about what your faith is all about. And very few say the way you really know is Yeshua love. Isn't that what he said? So he says in John 15, verses 12 and 14, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And then he defines it. "No one has greater love than the one who lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. In other words, this kind of Yeshua love is his command. And it's what is talked about, I believe, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's in the singular, is love, but here's how it's manifested. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That Yeshua love by the Holy Spirit is the kind of love that depicts Yeshua. It's this kind of love. It's a love that comes from God. It's a love that comes only really through the Holy Spirit. So this thing about love is paramount in the walk with the Lord. Now it's interesting that in this first chapter of Acts, when Yeshua, just before he's ascended, he appears to them 40 days. That's a long time. To prove that he is really alive and he's really guiding them and he won't leave them alone. And it says he appeared to them for 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Meaning really not just the establishing of his eternal kingdom, but right now the rule of God in our lives. He tells him, do not leave Jerusalem. Go there to Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Ruach HaKodesh. You will be immersed in the Holy Spirit in a few days. And you know the interesting thing, he doesn't tell them how long they have to wait, does he? He just says, go to Jerusalem and wait. And you know, we're going to go through a lot of things in life if we're walking with Yeshua. And some of them are really hard tests. And he's saying, I'm leading you through this. And eventually you'll understand what it's all about. But you don't know how long you're going to have to go through that. He did tell us, in the world you're going to have a good time. Didn't he say that? No. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. Oh, that sounds terrible. When I turn on the TV and they're talking about the guy out of his head and North Korea is going to send guided missiles with atomic warheads, that doesn't sound like a good time. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be happy. Why? He says, I've overcome the world. So Lord, what does that mean? Well, if you're walking with me and I've overcome the world, so will you. You will be able to go through this and come out triumphantly if you're filled with my Spirit, no matter how hard it seems now. Now, this past Wednesday and Thursday, that was May 31st and June the 1st, the Jewish communities throughout the world observed the Feast of Shavuot, known as the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, the Greek for 50. It was designated Pentecost because it was observed on the 50th day, that's the meaning of Pentecost, 50 in Greek, after the Passover Sabbath. Pentecost was the feast of the ingathering of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, a kind of thanksgiving festival when Israel expressed its gratitude to God for the harvest and the daily bread. we really depend on God for that, whether people recognize it or not. If there's no sunshine and no the right amount of rain, there won't be a harvest. And pretty soon people will be starving, as they are in many parts of the world. We have had things very well put here so that we don't starve. We have, most of us have the right amount of fruit and food. But there are people in the world starving. And it's God who sends the rain, and it's God who sends the sunshine. So we're totally dependent on Him. So the Torah deals with the institution of Pentecost in Leviticus 23, 15 through 17, and Exodus 34, 22. And when the Jewish people in time were dispersed among the nations, Pentecost lost its original emphasis and became known as Zaman Matan Toratenu, the time of the giving of our law. The ancient rabbis figured out that it was during this period, it's what we're in right now, that God gave Torah, the law of Moses. So this Pentecost became the birthday of Judaism too. Now, little did the apostles know that when Yeshua told them, go back to Jerusalem, just wait there. And He let them know God is going to do something. But you need to wait. Isn't it hard sometimes waiting? When I was going to go through my worst time, and I told some of you this, I had this breakdown, and this prophet from the Lord came to Gracie and said, Gracie, you're going to go through this with Harold for 7 years. She says, oh, Brother George, why did you come as a prophet of doom? But it was 7 years. And now Gracie is going through this thing with her eyes. We're believing God to restore her eyes, her sight. It's been over 5 years. So part of walking with the Lord is waiting and not losing your confidence. You know, in Psalm 23, David begins with, Adonai ro'i lo echsar. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. But right before that, in Psalm 22, he begins with, and this is familiar to all of you because it appears in the New Testament, my God, Eli, Eli, lama azaftani, my God, why have you forsaken me? That sounds familiar? That's what Yeshua said on the cross, wasn't it? He turned away because He was bearing the sin of the world. And He made that statement. So, but David really had this experience. God, where are you? And we have it too at times, if we're honest. Things get so hard. We say, God, where are you? So, Yeshua, ready to be lifted up into heaven by the power of God, tells His apostles, go back to Jerusalem and wait. The promise of the Father is going to come. You're going to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Here they've gone through this ministry all these years with Him, 3 years. And He says, you need to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh. And they were doing miracles. And they were seeing people turn to the Lord. But there was something more important than that. So He sends them back there. And little did they know that what they were to experience would be connected with the birth of Judaism. There was going to be another birth by God of something immeasurable, something fantastic. And all he told them to go back to Jerusalem and wait. So it says when the day of Pentecost came. Now they didn't know it was going to happen on Pentecost. He never said, this is going to happen to you on Pentecost. They were all together in one place. Now the Jews were in the dispersion. And they would come back to Jerusalem three times a year. And this was one of the times God told them to come back to Jerusalem. And they're there from all over the dispersion. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. The people wondered, these guys are Galileans. And it wasn't a compliment because Galilee wasn't highly thought of by the Jews. But they could tell by their accent they were from Galilee. I remember I was in the service with a guy from New Jersey. He was from Jersey City, New Jersey. And he talked like this, a dirty purple boy sat on a curb eating worms and burping. He was from New Jersey. But these guys from Galilee had this accent. And listen, Yeshua didn't always pick. In fact, he didn't pick the guys who were high on the totem pole as far as education and refinement and everything. But, you know, when you see Peter first, my father-in-law used to say he had hoof and mouth disease. He opened his mouth and stuck his foot in it. But when you see the Peter who's in the Gospels in the beginning and then read Peter's epistle, it's hard to believe that's the same guy. When the Lord takes you and puts His Holy Spirit in you and give you His words, you can become a different person. And they stood before the Sanhedrin. And they were amazed that these were just common people, but they spoke with the power of God, and they said they realized they had been with Yeshua. So all of these are filled with the Spirit, and they go out and declare the Word of God. And Peter is the main preacher there, and he preaches this inspired message about the Messiahship of Yeshua, with the following closing words and inspired results. Listen to this. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Yeshua, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, they call them brothers. What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. You know, I think we could say that today, couldn't we? You can't listen to the news without saying in your heart, good God above, what are we on the verge of? With many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his, his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number. 3,000 in one day, mostly Jews, but also some Gentiles, some proselytes to Judaism. They came to know Yeshua. They became a part of the New Covenant congregation. You know, originally, church wasn't thought of as all those buildings and those cathedrals. When you say church, ecclesia, it has to do with people, the called out ones. We're called out from the masses to serve the living God and to point to Him. We don't point all around us and say, you know, he's like this and she's like this and I don't like this and I don't like... We're like John Yohanan, the immerser. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what we point to, Yeshua. So here they were, they became the pointers, the called out ones, the ones declaring not what you hear on the news here on the television, not the bad news, the good news. And the good news is all about Yeshua. And he tells us that we're also waiting. And now, for what great event are believers instructed to wait? We aren't listening to TV and waiting till the next bomb comes. What are we waiting for? Listen to Titus 2, 11 through 14. And that tells us what we're to be waiting for. We're to get our minds and our hearts off of the calamities that are happening around us in the world. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. We aren't to live for the same things the people of the world outside of the kingdom of God are living for. To say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And here's what we're waiting for. While we wait for the blessed hope. Excuse our competition. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, we have the blessed hope to wait for, not the terrible catastrophe. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Not what is evil, what is good. And we need to ask God, Lord, reorient us. Help us not to be what is happening to the rest of the world, where we're oriented towards the destruction that's going to come. While we wait for the blessed hope, not destruction, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. And in the meantime, we can live for Him, live godly lives, and point others to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we just come to you in Yeshua's name. And we thank you that we can have the love, joy, and peace of the Ruach HaKodesh in our hearts. And we can live a life that glorifies you. And we hope, Lord, we want one day to stand in your presence and hear your well done. Equip us, Lord, so that we're living to glorify you. And take hold of us by the Holy Spirit so that our lives are what you called us to be. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yor er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace.